see the way they hate. And I know better than to listen to the people who are calling us mates.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Brian, and today is Thursday, June 13th, 2024, and this is episode 719 of the Lots Project podcast, and it's titled, It's Only 4 Inches. I'll be chatting about a new discovery in the shed project I got, a roadblock on another project that I started working on, Hal Finney's amusing thought experiment concerning Bitcoin way, way back at the beginning, and a little bit more. First, let's check out who's hanging out in the live feed. Who's hanging out in the coffee crew? Grab a cup and hang out for about an hour. Good morning, good morning, good morning. And Pip in early says only 4 inches, but you'll feel it. Might be short, but it sure is skinny. Mike's Homestead, good morning. Thanks for stopping in. Let me fix this bounce of... There we go. Backwoods Butcher. Hey, how you doing, buddy? It's nice to see you. You've been absent for a little while. I hope everything is okay with you and videos are still doing well. Jim, good morning. Good morning. How is Jim doing? And I'm guessing Jim's over there on Noster feed. Good morning, Jim, again, over on Noster. And the vertical feed is just up and rolling. Oh, Guys, it's a good morning. It's beautiful, cool morning this morning. Windows open last night was really nice, very comfortable. And we're heading into the weekend, and it's going to be hot. It's going to get a little warm. So it'll be interesting. I'm excited to see what the portable air conditioner we got does, and we might be able to even run that in conjunction with the whole house unit, or the whole whole camper unit that just doesn't work very well. But in supplement, it might do what we need. It's tough. These things aren't made with a shit ton of insulation by any means, so it gets rough. And then when you get temps, high temps, and then morning sun, it really is like cooking in an oven here. So Backwoods says things are good. Usually running around getting the family ready to leave, Mr. Mom, you got to have that TikTok account blast off, and then you can either hire a nanny or tell the Mrs. Butcher to stay home and be home for good. And Backwoods also says, lucky for me, they've been up since 5, so I'm all ready to listen. Do you have your Food Forest Farms coffee in your cup? Because I got some, and it's another day of light Ethiopian. This light Ethiopian in my cup is fantastic. There you go, Jim. There's your clip for today in the first 5 minutes. Light Ethiopian, bright, sweet, and refreshing for sure, and fresh out of the air roaster from Food Forest Farms. Came over on my C4 shipment. Once a month, get a bunch of pounds of coffee that are just fantastic in the mail, and enjoy it the month through. And I think you should too, if you want to give micro batch air roasted coffee done by a real human being who is an artist, if nothing else, a coffee bean artist at that. Give it a try. Contact foodforestfarms.com, foodforestfarms.com. And you will be able to use a discount code, get 10% off using LOTS10, LOTS10 at checkout. Get you 10% off. That's a one-time use coupon. LOTS5, LOTS5, get you 5% off all the time, every time. There's always free shipping at foodforestfarms.com. And if you don't know what coffee you want, if you don't know what roast you prefer, or you're open to letting Brian send what he thinks makes sense, he can tell what you probably will palate well, asking a few simple questions about where you're from, what you like, and a short little questionnaire, and he will be able to probably nail it. I got a couple people in the audience that have done that for a little bit and now and then, and he absolutely nails it. He has developed blends for me. The GSD blend that Jim's talking about, he's got the Get Shit Done blend in his cup this morning, the Perfect Cup blend. We have blends made up for all of our dogs, even our old boy, Walter, who passed recently. We made up blends for them. And anytime I describe something in words to Brian, he's like that artist that you describe a picture and he can paint it, which I can't. I'm not an artist. But man, I can describe a coffee flavor in words and the man can make it come out of that roaster. So give it a try. Foodforestfarms.com. Don't forget those discount codes. That lets him know you heard about it on the show. Thanks for that. Backwoods Butcher says, now that I'm big on TikTok, am I an artist? You're an artist, all right. Hunter says, showing up faster, wonder if that means you're getting popular. Me or Kyle? I'm showing up faster on Twitch. Like, does it I don't know how that works. Like I've said a bunch of times, I signed up for the account. I think I might have watched a couple of comedians, the spam bots. Gotcha. Yeah. I don't know about that shit. I just watched a couple comedians on Twitch. They took their radio show from terrestrial radio onto Twitch. Then they got banned off of Twitch. Then they went to YouTube. And like, it's such a convoluted mess. And I don't think they really understand censorship resistant media, but they were bad boys. They were radio bad boys. Backwood says, I'm one of those artists where you tell me what you want and I find a way to make it offensive. That's just because in general you're offensive. Canadian Farmstead said, no ad today. What is going on, YouTube? I have monetization turned on. Show these fuckers ads so I can make some money. Otherwise you guys can drop some super chats in the chat. I'm scrambling to make sure I got my monetization on. Yeah, what the heck? You got YouTube premium or something, Canadian Farmstead? Good morning, by the way. Appreciate you stopping in. Kyle thinks that that's the nicest thing I've ever said to him, that he's just offensive. Kyle, are you still coming to SRF this fall? Are you still rolling out here? You and I think you said you were bringing company, not the Mrs. Butcher, but company. If you guys want to come out to SRF, you can scroll down in the video description. You can scroll down in the audio description. There is an affiliate link there for picking up Self-Reliance Festival tickets. That is coming up in October, I want to say, beginning of October. If you click on the link, head over there. You can check it out. There's plenty of time to figure your shit out to get there. Camden, Tennessee. It's a great group of... It's a great festival of like-minded people. This fall is supposed to be another fantastic event. It'll be great. Pip says October 5th and 6th. Thank you, Pip, and good morning to you. By the way, I saw you in way early. I wasn't sure if you'd click back in. Hunter is planning on going. Awesome. Nice. Nice. We will definitely have a lots project community get together. Toolman Tim and I are going to be putting together and working on, and Becky and Corey and whoever else is involved are going to be putting together a massive community work days and such, I believe. I think it's in the beginning stages of planning and nothing is concrete yet, but we are thinking two work days and a social day. So one, attend one, two, or three, all of them, or some of them, or none of them, if you want. But we really enjoyed the work day we did last fall. We wanted to do another one. We realized that more people would have the opportunity to come if we did them at different days. We talked about our schedules and what we need to have available for the event. And I think we're going to do a couple work days and then a social, no work, just get together, meet up and enjoy the property and enjoy the company and do community building and that. I'm guessing it'll probably be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Might shift. I don't know. That's not set in stone yet. We're still batting around ideas, but there'll be camping on site. There'll be, there is some lodging relatively close. And if you want to camp on site, it's about, just under an hour drive to SOE. So relatively close and not too bad. So if you're interested, we will be getting the Telegram group fired back up again, and I will put that out there, as soon as we know what's going on. So stay tuned. Pips has got the time off from the Paycheck Plantation set. I'll be up there Wednesday to Monday. Nice. And Backwoods is going to talk to Nicole about doing a talk this year too. No hog demonstration there. No, you don't want to cut up another pig. I would be interested in hearing you talk. What topic? TikTok? Anyway, let me slip over here to the vertical feed and see what kind of nonsense is over there. Oh, no nonsense this morning. No one showed up for just yelling at me about being a homeless guy and all sorts of stuff in the comments over there yet. And Noster's still pretty quiet with Jim. With just Jim. Hey Pip, did you and Jim get your stuff sorted out from the Telegram chat yesterday? Going after each other about invaders of Florida from New York. And Canadian Farmstead says Backwoods Butcher will be doing a presentation on horsetail braiding. I think he would have to bring Mrs. Butcher for that. I'm pretty sure that is a Mrs. Butcher option. And I'm gonna miss her, by the way. I know you said you're gonna bring your side chick, side biatch or whatever you called him. Side biatch, yeah. I'm gonna miss Mrs. Butcher for sure. Backwoods says he wants to do a before the bullet conversation. Oh, Jesus. Oh, no. Oh, no. And they're firing it up in the chat already. Pip says, yep, New Yorkers are pricks who can't drive. And Jim just thinks I'm a troublemaker. And then maybe poke the bear a little bit and get you rolling. So anyway, what do we have on the list here today? I got a couple updates from my day yesterday. It was a day for sure. Included some setbacks, some progress, and some things. And then I also have seen a quote from Hal Finney. And if you're a Bitcoin fan, if you've been around a while, you probably heard the quote. But a quote from way back in 2009, right about the genesis of Bitcoin when it's just getting started, and it's an interesting thought experiment, and it gets you thinking about possibilities, and it really gets me thinking about the people that. The people that put this together and the mindset they had at the time. So I'll get to that at the end here. But Kyle says all the things you need to know before getting an animal butchered. Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about, you were just going to list off a bunch of short prayers or things you tell the animal, or like actually right before the bullet, like what caliber, what gun, positioning, and that whole deal. So anyway, yesterday I got done with the show and ended up shooting out to Delinquent's Gully. I was going to work on the shed project. I talked to you. I talked about that yesterday. I was going to go out and see if it was viable to put it up by myself. The instructions say 3 to 4 people, 7 to 10 hours or some god awful thing like that. I was looking through the directions. It looked feasible. It looks like 2 people will probably be sufficient. I can see where 3 to 4 would be valuable in a time sense, but not necessarily required. I don't think it's going to be able to be done by myself, just to the point where I got and looking at the next step and how it goes. It feels like it's going to just need someone to hold the pieces for a little bit. And I was browsing through the instructions. There seemed to be some prep stuff that needs to happen with some of the framing can be done before it needs to get put on. Kyle says, I've been out of the chat for too long. Almost forgot how handsome you are. Well, Chris Dixon mentioned yesterday that that all of a sudden my camera was in high def now or something. So that might be the difference. You actually can see how beautiful I am now. Canadian Farm says that it's those furtive glances at the camera. What's furtive mean? Kyle wants me to wait to put this shed up until October so he'll hold and support me. Maybe I'll have the shed done and you can hold and support me in other ways, Kyle. I'm needing to be held often. Jim says the HD doesn't help me. Anyway, so I was looking through the directions. I knew at least at a minimum I could get the bottom frame out, like the bottom rail. The first step was to lay out the bottom rail to attach all the pieces. They came in shorter pieces. There were like 2 pieces for 3 of the 4 sides and then like 3 pieces for 1 of the sides. And so I was like, well, at least I can get this done. And then I can kind of weed my way through the instructions and find the stuff that can just be pre-bolted together before it gets put on the shed, like the roof pitches and things like that. Canadian Farm says Kyle can help with the missing 4 inches. Only if he shows up 3 or 4 times, I'm guessing. And so I laid out the pieces on the foundation. The foundation, mind you, that first we were going to put it on the ground and realized that wasn't a good idea. Then we priced out making a wooden deck, and then also just doing cinder block frame around the outside and using dirt floor, actually carpet floor that we have, a piece of carpet. The price difference in the block versus the wood platform, and the fact that this was a free shed and just nothing we were actually planning on doing, made me go towards the bricks. The bricks were like just over $100. The platform was going to be pushing $350-$400. I was just like, I don't want to put that into this shed. The idea of this shed is to actually make money off the commission. So yeah, I just wanted to do it as cheaply and as quickly as possible. Turns out maybe the platform would have been the way to go, but here we are. Made that decision and working with it. So I laid the foundation. I changed my mind about what I wanted to do on the inside. I went back and forth. I've dug a hole. I have a garden pond now because of this. I reflattened and leveled everything and repositioned the bricks in the position that they were in before. Everything was level. Yesterday, I went out and I put the frame down and I started to screw them together. And I screwed together the 12-inch sides and I had them laying on the foundation. And I was like, something's not right. And I looked at the directions and I looked at all the pieces are numbered, and it's pretty nice. As far as pre-cut, pre-fab stuff goes, the fact that they have stickers on everything with part numbers, and then they also put secondary stickers with corresponding ends. So what I'm talking about is say the piece is A1 and A2, at the ends they'll have a number one, a number two, and on the next one they'll have a number two and a number three. So the twos go together. The other corner that comes up to meet the number one has a number one on it. So it all kind of corresponds together. And I was like, okay, this will probably go well. The screws are all in a resealable bag. The little washers, plastic washers you need to seal the metal screws, they're all in these little cards that you just peel them out. It wasn't horrible. It is a higher end pre-cut, pre-drilled shed. It was, I think it retails for about $700 if it's not on sale. And the holes lined up decent, decent enough that they were close. Like, I've worked in a lot of industrial maintenance and tech jobs and things like that. We build this kind of shit all the time. Factory replacement parts for gas dispensers and all sorts of stuff are just like this. So I'm not new to it. I'm not new to making it line up and helping it a little bit and possibly drilling a new hole if I need to. Like, I can figure this out. And so I got it all laid out and I was like, wait, it's just not lining up right. And I looked at the instructions again. I double checked all the pieces. I got the whole thing laid out. I started putting the longer pieces together. And then I got a tape measure. And the shed listing says it is a 10-foot by 12-foot shed. I went off that for all my measurements to build the foundation. And this is where I'm thinking that the platform would have been better, because this would have been a non-issue with the platform because it would have been solid. Right now, all I have is a ring of cinder blocks around the outside. So I'm limited to the 8 inches wide of the cinder blocks for my play. And the cinder blocks are 16 inches long. So it's a matter of where they line up to make that square. Well, I did all the math. I had it all figured out. And the way I laid them out would have been 10 by 12. And it was close on both directions. One was a little shy, and one was going to be pushing it a little bit. And but the stuff would have fit on there. Well, when I put the long side on the long side of the foundation, it was about a brick short. And I'm like, wait a second. And I got the tape measure out, and the shed isn't actually 10 foot by 12 foot. The shed is actually 9 foot 8 inches by 11 foot 8 inches. So I guess I'm more than 4 inches short. I'm actually 8 inches short. Well, by four sides, I guess I'm 16 inches short. But what that means is it doesn't lay on my foundation. Three of the sides it will. The fourth side is one brick too far. And it just happens to be the way it was going to line up, the way it was set up, that it just doesn't reach. And so I swore quite a bit. I sat down. I contemplated life. I had a hammer in my hand. The shed project was almost over at that point. I sat there, I looked, I did some calculations, I sat there for some more, and I realized that I was just going to have to move bricks. I was going to have to re-level and set the foundation again. And it was, it is what it is. It's what has to be done to do the project. And I need to get it done because I need to get content out there, because that's why the company sent it to me. I don't think they want this content. There will be valuable lessons to put in the video at the end that I will definitely have some tips and advice for people buying it. So that's good in the least. But right now, my frustration, my struggles are definitely not what should be on the interwebs if they're trying to sell these things. Kyle says, don't know what happened. Got the ship built and it was 6 foot by 16. I mean, we modified a few things. So I got 20 screws in. I got some pieces prepped, and at this point I said, you know, I just can't work on these bricks again today. It had been days of shoveling and leveling and laying the bricks, and it just wasn't happening. And so I kind of I sat there for a minute, and I have one other project. I shouldn't say one other project. I got several projects out at that property, but one other project that's kind of on the top of the priority list that will help us progress. And that was getting some insulation in Tim's cabin. And I'm not insulating the walls per se, but here, I'll pull this picture up. Let me see if I can share it. We bought the portable air conditioner so we can take it out and run it at Tim's. And so where are the pictures? So one of the things with the rough built cabin that we did when Tim and I threw it up, you have gaps in the ceiling, like where the roof rafters come across the top of the studded wall here. So where all these white blocks are, if you're watching the live feed, if you're not watching the live feed, it's kind of like at the top of the framed wall where the 2x4s are on end for the roofing to sit on, there's a gap there. And even though the walls aren't insulated, even though everything isn't sealed up nice and tight, those were some pretty big gaps, and we didn't want that open for critters getting in while we're trying to sleep in there, and B, just for blowing cold air out just right out the side. Now, I understand the fact that it's not insulated and it's a metal roof and it's not very efficient and this and that. We're just trying to make it work for what we need. So I decided I was going to pick up some half inch insulation. So what I did was get the half inch insulation with the foil and film on one side, foil on one side, film on the other, and basically just cut little sheets to stuff in there and just slow the air exchange down. And yes, I know that the channels in the roofing run and there's ventilation there, and that's okay. It's somewhere for the hot air to push out at the top. But I just wanted to get this done, and then we can kind of go out there and see if we can cool this a little bit. And so I said, you know, I had the materials for this. It was a beautiful day. It was cool, not cool. It was in the 70s, pushing into the 80s. It was sunny. There was a decent breeze out on the property. And so I said, you know what? I'm done with this foundation. I'll come back and do that tomorrow. It wasn't a matter. I didn't have anybody to help me today to put it up. So today I can just get that foundation done and then be ready to find somebody to help me. And that was one thing with that shed project, was I'm glad I didn't think it was time to put it together. if I had grabbed somebody to help me and we put that first bottom frame down and it was, it had to be changed, I would have felt like I wasted their time and wasted their day. So I'm glad that I went through the motions of that. And now I can know when I ask somebody to come and help that, that it is time to help. But anyway, so I shifted gears. I walked over to the cabin and started messing around with trying to get these holes filled with this little insulation, and it went smooth. It went smooth after I got in the groove of how I was doing it. Basically, I was cutting sheets lengthwise or the short way across the insulation. They're 4x8 sheets, and holding it up there and just eyeballing it, and it was thin enough and pliable enough that if I just eyeballed it and cut it a little big and stuffed it in the hole, it like friction held itself in there, kind of like bent a little bit and compressed and just like slid in. And I got pumping away on that and making my way around the cabin, and the cabin's only 16 by 16. So it's not like a ton of spaces. And so I got the front and the back done, and I started on the one side. I started working and got across the whole one side and started working my way back across the other side. And I cut a piece, and I had like 4 pieces left to do. And there's a bed in the one room that I still had to do. And so I kind of wiggled my way around the bed and over to the wall. And I had my big, long, my 4-foot piece of insulation. I hold it up there, and I happen to look right behind the insulation up above my head. And I looked up, and there was a fucking wasp nest right where I was about to slide the insulation up to get my measurements. I looked up there, and you know those little tiny wasp nests? They're like, man, the size of a golf ball. And you're like, there can't be that many wasps in there. There can't be that many wasps in there. I saw it. I was like, that's tiny. And then I saw the fucker that crawled out of it. And then I saw the next one that started to crawl out of it because I think they knew I was a little close. They knew I was getting close. And the 2 sons of bitches that crawled out of there were enough. I can only imagine what else. How many more were in there? Jim says paper wasps. I don't know. They were black. And they were nasty looking. Those things crawled out of there, and I was like, nope, nope, nope. I didn't need to get stung out there. I'm not necessarily, I don't believe I'm allergic. I've been stung by bees and all sorts of critters. But I have noticed that some of the things that bite me here, I do react a little bit more than the stuff that I was accustomed to in Minnesota. I don't know if that's just like regional toxin or whatever they carry, or different species or what, but I just didn't want to fuck around with that, being that I didn't have to. And so I knew I had some spray, some indoor spider and wasp and bug spray back at the trailer. I was like, this, we don't need to use this tomorrow. We don't need to, this doesn't need to be done. I wasn't even planning on doing it yesterday. And so I was like, yep, you guys can just kind of hang out there, and I'm going to go clean everything up and get out of here for the day. So that's on the list. This on the list today. I'm going to go out. I'm going to knock down. The first thing I'm going to do is go in and knock down that wasp nest. And take care of them. And the odor from the spray I have is it's floral, but it's very intense floral. And so I'm probably going to let that dissipate, go up and finish the foundation. Depending on how long the foundation takes, I might get back and be able to knock out those 4 pieces of insulation. So we will see, but roadblocks everywhere I go is just another roadblock. But I'm glad I didn't take and slam that piece of insulation, and I was looking where it needed to line up, because I just caught that nest out of the corner of my eye. It wasn't anything that I noticed when I was looking at the wall or going through the motions of planning on how I wanted to do it or anything. And it was just kind of like tucked up in there. So yeah, good times. other than that, it seems like the cabin is staying pretty critter free from what I can tell. One rodent, I assume it was probably a mouse or something got in there and got a hold of a roll of paper towels and kind of chugged on that a little bit, shredded it up just a little bit, but not bad. So other than that, it doesn't seem like too much intrusion, too much anything's going on, but, you know, I'm only there for a fraction of the time. So we will see. We will see for sure. Excited to get out there. I actually talked to a company this morning that might be sending me out a solar generator. I really don't like the term solar generator. Basically, they're sending me out a battery bank with a solar panel, which will be invaluable in letting us stay out there for the weekend and running some things. And so excited about that. Excited about that. It's pretty much a solid done deal that they're going to be sending something out. But, you know, things go fall through all the time. I thought I was getting a pizza oven and that never showed up. So, oh, well, I don't know if that's the company. I don't know if the company backed out on that one or somebody in the USPS or UPS systems are enjoying nice wood-fired pizzas outside on their deck that I should be enjoying. But anyway, I'm guessing they never sent it because when I reached out to the company again, they didn't reply. So I'm guessing they just ghosted me. And that's that. So that was kind of the day yesterday. It wasn't bad. The weather, like I said, was nice. It was a beautiful day. And now we roll into the kind of the warm up into the weekend, and it's looking like Sunday's going to be pushing 100. So it's going to get a little warmer. It's going to get a little warmer here. This is about the time we were getting ready to take off last year. And we did monitor the temperature down here throughout July while we were gone. It was nice and nasty hot where we were too. But it was a few degrees warmer here, negligible really, from where we were. It was hot and humid where we were also, unusually hot and humid where we were. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. It'll be nice to get into, excuse me. It'll be nice to get into a cabin that's actually insulated and climate controlled and the such. So one downfall of the RVs. Anyway, yesterday when I was hanging out before I went out, I was perusing some Bitcoin Reddit, some Bitcoin headlines here and there. And the other thing, Kyle said, I just put a sweatshirt on. I had a lap blanket on yesterday, Kyle. I was going to tell you it was down to 52 overnight last night, I think. And with all the windows and doors open in the camper, when I got up in the morning, I was a little chilly. I had a hoodie on and then I threw my little granny lap blanket on while I did the show. It's all right. And so I was perusing some Bitcoin stuff, after talking a little bit about Bitcoin yesterday, before I took off while I was finishing my coffee, I was looking at some headlines, reading some Bitcoin Reddit. If you want to see some interesting takes, on anything really, but including Bitcoin, Reddit is an interesting place to go hang out and read some threads. But, one thing that I saw yesterday that caught my eye, and it's something that I've seen several times over the years, it's very, very, very famous, I guess, in Bitcoin circles. I don't know about how much outside Bitcoin circles is. And even within, depending on how deep you've dove in. So there's a guy named Hal Finney. If you don't know who Hal Finney is, you can look him up. You can Google him. You can Wikipedia him or whatever you want to do. Kyle said the reason he had to put a sweatshirt on And I think this is a bullshit reason. To be fair, I'm about to head to school to drop off, and I'm wearing my SOE Fuck Your Feelings shirt. I mean, before I get to Al Finney, Corey actually shared, it was funny. It was interesting. So you all know who Gary Vaynerchuk is, Gary V. He has no problem swearing. He has no problem swearing at all. Corey did not know who Gary V was, but saw a TikTok that he posted. It might be a fake account. It might be, it might not be. But Gary V was talking to someone that was asking him about why he curses so much. And he went on to go on a rant, basically, in only Gary V fashion, talking about his daughter, her fourth grade teacher, and which was also his fourth grade teacher, and the fact that she told him he would never become anything because he got a B or a D in science. I think he turned out okay. He also said, you know, my philosophy, he was talking about his philosophy with why he curses. He says, you know, I talk about my employees and I'm wondering how they're doing. And he says, you know, I just say what I feel because I don't say, well, how are you feeling today? I said, how the fuck are you feeling? I don't know the exact question he was asking, but to that effect, like that's what's in his brain. That's what makes sense to him. It's what he grew up around. It's what he grew up around. It's what he he's heard, and he's teaching his daughter the same. I've always stand strong on the fact that who decided that what the bad words are. Who decided what the naughty words were and why? And why do we let them impose that on us? And is it a little bit of rebellion? Is it a little bit of repetition? Is it a little bit of whatever? Maybe, but what the fuck? What difference does it make? Did it hurt your ears? Did it hurt your eyes? And like he said, if my daughter's biggest problem is that she says fuck when she's in fourth grade, I think she'll be all right. I think she'll be all right too. I think he set a pretty good example for her. So the people that get their panties in a bunch about swear words when you're talking to a guy that's a self-made billionaire, maybe you got to be authentic. Maybe it is who you are. I don't know. It was an interesting TikTok. I'll have to circle back to that one. I wasn't necessarily planning on talking about that, but it just kind of fit in. Backwoods Butcher said all the moms at drop off found my TikTok. Uh-oh. Mrs. Butcher is going to have to be on the prowl. She's going to have to be watching out for all these school moms. Kyle in the drop off line with all his girlfriends. Kyle, I think your TikToks would do so much better if you didn't have a shirt on. Oh, no. Anyway, back to Hal Finney. If you know who Hal Finney is, that's great. If you don't, you should kind of maybe jump into it. Mike's Homestead says, why are you letting the whole English language be imposed on you? They made all the words good and bad. It's nothing that's being imposed on me. I don't do anything. I just say what I say what I think. I say what comes out of my mouth, and it is what it is. Hal Finney here is, let me find this. There it is. I can bring it up. Hal Finney was back in the genesis of Bitcoin. He was somebody that interacted with Satoshi Nakamoto. He was an early adopter. He's a computer programmer. He was into cryptography. He was into all of this stuff. You can go find his resume. You can go find more about him on whatever search whatever search engine you want. Kyle says, I'm just wildly offensive on the internet. No, you're wildly offensive off the internet too. You're definitely off the internet too. But Hal Finney back on January, let me get the date right. I believe it was January 11th. Where is it here in my notes? January 11th, 2009. So we're talking 2009, 15 years ago, when Bitcoin was just in its in infancy and just coming around. And this is what he wrote on, what was the forum called? I have this all right here in my notes, but I keep flipping back to the picture. Let me grab this. He put this on the Bitcoin Talk forum, which was a online forum where people were discussing Bitcoin. And he said, and I quote, it's interesting that the system can be configured to only allow a certain maximum number of coins ever to be generated. So the 21 million cap. He says, I guess the idea is that the amount of work needed to generate a new coin will become more difficult as time goes on. We just saw that with one of the halvings. The work becomes more difficult and the reward becomes less. One immediate problem with any new currency is how to value it. Even ignoring the practical problem that virtually no one will accept it at first, which was true, there is still a difficulty in coming up with a reasonable argument in favor of a particular non-zero value for the coin. So when you're inventing, this is my thoughts on that. Is like when you're inventing something that you want to value, and no one's buying it and no one's using it, how do you come up with a initial pricing? It's like trying to figure out the IPO price of a company when the company doesn't have any vital statistics, earnings, or projections, or anything like that. He goes on to say, as an amusing thought experiment, imagine that Bitcoin is successful and becomes the dominant payment system in use throughout the world. Then the total value of the currency should be equal to the total value of all the wealth in the world. So what he's saying is if Bitcoin got adopted and Bitcoin became, say, the dollar, which is the global reserve currency. I don't know if we consider it that anymore. It's just shifting away from it more and more daily. But if Bitcoin became that dominant world currency, the value of all the Bitcoin would necessarily have to be equal to the value of the total household wealth. So like you're exchanging the values. John Palmer's talking about his ad. Hold on one second. And so he says, current estimates of the total worldwide household wealth that I have found range from 100 trillion to 300 trillion. Now you got to think we're back in 2009. So he didn't have ChatGPT to just ask. That's what I did and got a new current value. And I believe it was 436 billion or trillion, excuse me. So we're even beyond what his estimates were here. He says, the current estimates of total worldwide household wealth that I have found range from 100 trillion to 300 trillion. With 21 million coins, that gives each coin a value of about $10 million. He also says, so the possibility of generating coins with a few cents of compute time may be quite a good bet. With a payoff of something like 100 million to one, even if the odds of Bitcoin succeeding to this degree are slim, are they really 100 million to one against? Something to think about. So he's throwing this out there. before any of this really had kicked off. Really, I mean, really, it's Genesis. This is the back at the beginning. He had enough foresight to think, holy crap, we got something here. We got something here. And these are the thought experiments I'm going through. These are the things that that went through the people that worked on this at the beginning. This is what went through their mind. What if? Why are the current systems not working? And what can we do to alter that and make it sustainable and make it the best currency ever? And so I read that, and in 2009, if this guy could say, you know, Bitcoin's probably worth it. it's probably worth a little bit of time and energy that's going to come out of your computer to start mining Bitcoin. So that's where he was. That's the place he was. Now I look at that here in 2024 and say, we're at the tip of the iceberg. We're, you know, the whole iceberg metaphor, we're still above the water for sure. But as I talked about yesterday with the adoption, the ETF adoption, the mainstream adoption, I saw the other day that 60 billion people in Brazil that use the central bank of Brazil just got access to buy Bitcoin. Like that, light switch. Buy it in their bank account. That's a lot of people. As this is happening, and one of the things that Jack Spirko said, and a lot of people in the change industry, I guess, slowly then all at once. Bitcoin is ramping up. Bitcoin is getting more mainstream exposure. They're really going after it more, and they're in that transition before they're going after it, and now they're trying to capitalize on it. So as this gets more adopted, as this gets more recognized, as this becomes more valuable and people realize that there's only so many, and I think Brian said it yesterday in the chat that I think it was like 99% of Bitcoin has been mined. Is it 99? There's like 19.5 million out of 21 million already done. Whether it's 90%, 95%, 99%, it's a lot of it is already there. And once people that start to understand the value, and the people that have institutional money, big money, where, you know, a $70,000 Bitcoin purchase is like going to Starbucks for us plebs. It's going to get wild, because supply and demand holds true, especially when everybody wants it, especially. So hold on. Somebody asked in the chat yesterday, I think it was Canadian Farmstead, says, well, when Lambo, when is Bitcoin going to go to the moon? When can I buy my Lamborghini? Who knows? Soon enough. We will see. Coworker number four over on the vertical feed says, Pip's an ass. I'm coworker number four and I approve this message. I've hung out with Pip. I declined to comment, coworker number four. You work with Pip every day, all day. And maybe you have different opinions. So I don't know. I was just scrolling through the Reddit, and I saw that quote again. Every time I read it, it really solidifies the fact why I'm stacking sats, why I use the fold card to get Bitcoin back on my purchases instead of using my bank debit card. Why I why I represent Blockstream, the Jade hardware wallet. They pay me my commissions in Bitcoin that gets stacked away. Why I find ways to get it, because currently right now our assets, our fiat dollars are going to be going directly towards building our cabin and securing that part of our life. So I don't have the funds to dump into Bitcoin as much as I wish. So finding creative ways to stack sats, to finding creative ways, like streaming to Noster and posting on Noster, where you get value for value exchange, where people will tip you in Satoshis. As long as you're a net positive, and even if you're not, if you're supporting people that are putting out content that you value with 10 Satoshis, less than a penny, with like the Zap that Jim helps me with every day that helps cover what I pay to stream to Noster, is a quarter a day. 333 sats. Jim is kind enough to shoot me almost every day. And I appreciate that so much. It's right around what it costs me to stream this to Noster. But that's 25 cents currently. Is the show worth 25 cents to you guys? Is the hour that we hang out in the morning, is that worth a quarter? If you sent me a quarter on YouTube in a super chat, I'll see like 7 cents of it. Maybe 12 cents of it. Do you know where the 333 sats go? Into my wallet. Into my Lightning wallet, the one Jim sends it on Noster. Not that I don't appreciate anything from, not that I don't appreciate. See, Jim says, yet the elder abuse continues. That's because that's how I show love, Jim. it's just one of those weird convoluted things, kind of like when husbands beat their wives because they love them. I do it because I love you. I can't express my love. Anyway, just that's why I'm stacking sats. That's why I'm stacking sats. Mike Homestead says love hurts. Well, yeah, I could go down the line. I could go down the line on that. That could get into a very, 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 very dangerous conversation. But anyway, that's why I stack sats. Is I see the value that Hal Finney saw in 2009. I see the value and the progression it's made. I'm happy that I woke up and finally started paying attention to it in 2017, and I wish I had acted sooner. But today is better than tomorrow, maybe. In the long term, this week is better than next week. We have fluctuations. We have peaks and valleys. We have crashes and huge runs. But historically, this year's been better than last year, and at an increased rate. So at this point, obviously, still don't spend money you don't have to spend. I'm not spending our cabin savings on Bitcoin as much as I would love to. I know better than that. And I might have to sell some at some point. That just happens. It's what you need in your life at that time. But understand that in the long run, I think you're going to come out ahead. And that's just my opinion. Do your own research. Do your own digging. Think through the process and really figure out why you're buying Bitcoin, why you think it's going to be valuable. How valuable do you think it's going to be? Is it more valuable than the dinner you're going to go out to? Maybe, maybe. It probably in the long run, you're just going to poop out the dinner. Maybe you get memories out of the dinner with the person you're having dinner with. That's fantastic. I don't know. I don't know. At least at least earn rewards on paying for the dinner by using the full debit card. Link in the video description. I think. It is what it is. John Palmer says retirement fund. Yeah, I mean, really, that's kind of how you look at it. 401k, 401k or Roth IRA or automatic withdrawal from your paycheck into your 401k. Jim says retirement. Okay, retirement funds are investing in Bitcoin. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Worldwide, and here's the like the looking glass or the lens we see things through. When you start looking at Bitcoin news outside the US, published outside the US, especially in some of the Latin American countries and some of the adopting countries, the tone, the way they talk about it, the way the politicians talk about it, the way the public talks about it, the way the reporters talk about it is completely different than here. We have such a narrative set up in this country through whatever the politicians want us to all think. And it's scary. Step out for a second and go find some articles written in El Salvador about Bitcoin. Go read the articles about the Central Bank of Brazil allowing Bitcoin to be purchased. It's starting to shift here. What is it? They mock you, then they try to demonize you, then they want to be like you or what? I don't remember the whole little phrase there, but I think they're in that transition into wait, we're not going to be able to get rid of this, so we might as well co-opt it. I think they're in that transition. So I don't know. You got idiots like Elizabeth Warren out there talking about shit. Chief Pocahontas or whatever her name was. Did you see her brilliance the other day about the iPhones and the Androids? That Apple is cornering the market and holding people hostage, and they can't even text message with people from Android phones. Jim says Coinbase auto buy is too easy daily, weekly, monthly, as little as you can afford to gamble instead of lottery tickets or that drive through coffee. That's an interesting point. Strike is another one. Fold also has auto buy now. Fold has roundup buying. So basically you can set, so say you make $1.75 purchase. If you have roundup on, you have that quarter change. It's been those roundup theories have been used for a long time. I remember back when I had a physical checkbook and check registry. I always just did whole dollars to the roundup, and then at the end of the month when I reconciled my checking account, I knew that there was a bonus balance there, and it was almost like a secret savings account. Well, Fold does essentially the same thing, where you make a purchase and then you can choose to stash away one times up to 10 times, I think, of the remainder of the change, rounded up to the next dollar. And then every time you accumulate at least $5, it auto buys Bitcoin. So if you use your card, bless you, Corey, if you use your card consistently, you're just stacking sats. You're stacking sats with rewards. You're stacking sats with roundups. You're stacking sats with auto buys there. You can do that. Strike doesn't like where Jim lives. Venmo, Cash App, I think, might do auto buys. Robinhood, I believe, does auto buys. Fold is getting into doing limit buys too, buy the dip type of stuff, which is really, really convenient. They're developing that app. So everybody freaked out when the rewards went sideways on Fold. And I've talked about it a bunch of times. It is what it is. It wasn't financially viable. Same thing with Fountain, when they were just throwing sats like crazy. These things are to draw attention. They're not sustainable long term. Figure out how to use the platforms, figure out the rules. Take 2 seconds and adjust what you're doing to benefit from them. They're not trying to fuck you over. They're just trying to stay in business. When you realize that, and you know that there's a set of rules, and you know if you do XYZ, it benefits you 10 times greater, figure out what XYZ is and do it, if it's worth it. I paid a couple hundred bucks for the full plus over the year. So it'll be 2 years, I believe, in September, maybe three. So maybe $300. If it's $200, I'm over 10x on my rewards from Fold. Was it worth the $200?
Well, you had to transfer money and it took like 3 days.
Either carry a balance or plan your life a little bit more and maybe not have to buy your Amazon purchases today. Maybe it's a great lesson in consumerism and that cool down period where, you know, you put stuff in the cart, and this is kind of how we've gone along with a lot of the Amazon purchases. Is you put it in the cart, you look at the total, and you go, okay, well, I got to transfer this. It's going to take 2 to 3 days. And when it hits my Fold account, I go back to the cart and go, do we really still need that stuff? And usually we do, but we've gotten to a point where we don't need it tomorrow. We don't get it tomorrow anyway. And sometimes we run short on time, and sometimes we order it without using the Fold gift cards and that. Sometimes I get groceries and don't use Kroger gift card from Fold because it just wasn't right. But I intentionally try to do it as much as possible, because I think that the 10 minutes or the little bit of wait and the little bit of delayed satisfaction is what it is. I think it's worth it. I think it'll end up being worth it. Maybe not. Maybe in 5 years, Bitcoin will be worth zero, and we'll all be sitting here talking about the petrodollar or the Chinese spinning monkey dollars or whatever. I don't know. Hopefully, it's Bitcoin. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway. 1 hour and 8 minutes. We're at 8, 9 minutes after 7 here in Tennessee, guys. I appreciate you. Appreciate you all watching. If you enjoyed the show, you can head over to Noster. You can tip in the Lightning or tip in the Telegram chat. We do the Lightning tip bot there. You can find me over on Noster. You can always zap me there. Excuse me. Wow, that went down the wrong pipe. But yes, I appreciate you listening. If you enjoyed the show, it's always free to hit that like, share, and subscribe. To return value for value, please consider joining one of the YouTube membership tiers or listening on any of those value for value platforms like Podverse or Fountain.fm, hitting up that Noster Zappity Zap and finding some creators over there to to follow and share the love with, you can do that. You can find a video on how to onboard onto Noster on the YouTube channel. And then, yeah, Podverse, fountain.fm, where you can find the audio broadcast. You can visit thelotsproject.com or comfreyroots.com to find out products, promotional codes, partner companies, discount codes, all that stuff, or pick yourself up some Comfrey Roots, share the love discount code good through the end of the month. Jim says, I am not a financial advisor, nor do I play one on the interwebs, but stack. Yes, I am not a financial advisor. This was all conjecture. This was all my opinion, and you should do your own research and find out things for yourself. Other than that, guys, I'm going to head out and hopefully redo that foundation, get ready to rock and roll, get that shed up finally at some point in the next few days to a week, get that insulation done out at Tim's cabin so we can maybe start spending weekends out there and working on our project too. Guys, have an awesome day. It's Thursday. Roll through the day today and into Friday. Have a great day, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Shining.